We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
Attention. Attention. Do I have everybody's attention now?
Rebel Radio. Burn it down!
Rebel Radio presents the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast. Scotty Villa brings you your new favorite pro wrestling podcast.
There is nothing you could do that is more dangerous than wrestling CM Punk.
He's got the latest in covering all of the major promotions in professional wrestling.
Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
Breaking news and hot topics. He's covering everything from Monday night till Sunday night's main event.
I'm the hottest thing in professional wrestling. I'm Dr. Britt Baker.
And we never forget to go old school.
I was rowdy before rowdy was cool.
From the golden era.
The irresistible force meeting the immovable object.
To the attitude era.
And if you're not done with that, then he's got two words for ya.
To the revolution.
It's about the 14 years it took me to go from undesirable to un-goddamn deniable.
And everything in between.
Superkick Hot Tag!
This is your pro wrestling podcast. This is In My House.
Give me a hell yeah!
Welcome to my house, baby.
Hey, welcome everybody to the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast. Scotty Villa here, and UK Tom is in the big seat today. What's going on?
Hey, yeah, it's just us today, so I'll have to try to do my best paralegal mic negativity. But I'm not very good at that, so we'll see. But yeah, it's good to be here again.
And pumped to have you here. Thanks for jumping in. You're always here for pay-per-view shows anyway. Pre-post, so this works. As you heard last week, or if you didn't hear, first of all, shame on you. Fucking go listen to that episode, it's a gooder. But Mike and his lovely lady are off to Cuba for the week, so it'll be myself and UK Tom this week breaking down the Elimination Chamber. But before that, how are you, pal? It's cold as shit here where we're at, Regina.
What the fuck is with the weather? Like, isn't it like minus 30 on Wednesday and then plus 10 on Thursday or something?
That's apparently what like, we're getting.
Bruh.
Yeah, she's pretty damn cold. So it's basically goes from plug it in your car to maybe cover up your tomatoes if you got them out to, dude, get the shorts out and let's go skateboarding. Yeah. Like, it's literally that within a day. So it's pretty wild. But, dude, we saw a pay-per-view this past weekend live from Perth, Australia. It started for us at 4 a.m. I didn't get up at 4 a.m. I had a very long Friday, and I said, you know what? I'm just going to hit record on the PVR, and I'll watch it when I wake up, and I'll stay away from my phone, which I did. I will say, Tom, I didn't see a single spoiler. I picked up my phone probably 6,000 times, but I went, nope, never mind, and I put it down, didn't swipe up, didn't open anything. I stayed spoiler-free. Did you? Did you wake up?
I had planned to wake up. But as everyone knows, I'm a big GCW fan. Mm-hmm. They had a pay-per-view on the Friday night that didn't finish till midnight. And I'm not going to bed at midnight and then getting up at four, probably because that would be bad for the population of Canada if I'm walking around with that little sleep. So I also did not wake up, but I did put it on pretty much as soon as I woke up because I don't enjoy not watching live. So.
Yeah.
I wanted to get it started before I saw anything.
Yeah. And for me, I don't know about you, but for me, I was able to stay away from spoilers. It sounded like you were too.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like I wasn't watching it live. Like, obviously, we're smart enough to know this isn't live, but
yeah,
if you stay away from spoilers, you're like, cool. And then for like some of the downtime, you can just fucking fast forward all the the promo packages, which as soon as they started popping up, it made me think of you, because you've really talked about it and talked about how when Raw goes to Netflix, how there's the talk of it could be commercial free. But we saw their version of commercial free at the Elimination Chamber, because it's video packages after video packages to fill that time. And I imagine a lot of those video packages that we'll see, that we'll start seeing, will be sponsored by Cricket and Slim Jim and all that stuff too. So
it'll be commercials that aren't commercials.
Yeah, exactly. Right. But
one thing I will say though, is I actually really enjoyed the little videos they put in about Australia.
Yeah.
I thought those were really cool. And I know they did that when they were in Puerto Rico too. So that was kind of cool.
I imagine they'll do them when they're in France for Backlash after WrestleMania as well.
I don't know what nice things they'd show of France.
But, I completely agree. Plus, let's be honest, like, it's a 4.5 hour show. Gives you time to go up, get a drink, take your eyes off the TV for a second too. That, I'm not saying I like downtime in pay-per-views. Like AEW, when they do their pay-per-views, they hammer them match after match after match, but almost too quick, where you kind of can't retain a lot of what you fucking just saw. Yeah. But I also don't like the amount of downtime I'm getting the WWE pay-per-views. But anyway, we'll get into that when we have some downtime. We've got a big show to talk about. We've got to talk about Elimination Chamber live from Perth, Australia, 50,000 strong, which I think the number was 52,000 and some, but
52,590. There we go. That's my stupid brain for you.
We got Tom Stat here.
There we go. My brain's full of them.
Yeah. My brain is failing me. What started the show?
So, well, on the pre-show, there was a match on the pre-show.
Yes.
Which was the Kabuki Warriors defending their tag team titles against Candice and Indy, which obviously they shoehorned in to get Indy on the show. I don't know if you watched that match, Mike. I did. Mike, you're not Mike. Mike's in Cuba. I don't know if you watched it. I did, mainly because I enjoy Asuka. It was a fun little pre-show match where the whole crowd and everyone watching kind of knew that the titles weren't switching, but it was cool to see Indy in Australia.
Did she get a good pop? Because I didn't
huge see. Pop.
Perfect.
Yeah. The crowd were... They were almost too into her, because like when Candice was in the ring, like they didn't care.
Oh, really?
Which is not great if you're Candice LeRae, who actually is a very good talent. But, they hated Asuka too. So.
Really?
To the point that she's a good heel.
Okay. Okay. So they hated her the right way.
They hated her the right way. Okay. They were relatively quiet for Kairi, but it was a fun little pre-show match, but you didn't miss much if you didn't watch it.
I definitely didn't watch it, and I'm glad to hear it, because I honestly didn't hear any reviews one way or another. I know that they had a match and didn't watch it, but that's good to hear, because I was curious if Indy got how good of a reception. Obviously, it's the first match of the night, so everyone's going to be pumped and into it. Indy's from Australia. The one bummer of the show was originally that Bronson Reed wasn't going to be there, because he's from that region, but only to come to find out his wife was about to have a baby, and it wouldn't have worked out time-wise for him to go there and come back and be there for the birth of his child when that happened. So
he was off the show for the right reasons.
Yes.
Which is another thing that wouldn't have happened in the Vinnie Mac era. It would have been, fuck you, get on that plane.
Yep.
So you got to treat them like humans. So
I love to see it. Did,
yeah.
I was a little bit bummed though, because the rumored match was him versus Seth Rollins for the world championship, but which Seth got hurt.
Yeah, that would have been fantastic.
I think so too. So tough break, Bronson, but I'm sure.
Bronson is, I'm going to say he's one of my disappointments, but it's not through the fault of him.
I agree. Same way.
I really wish that fans would connect with him more, because that dude is a hell of a talent.
Yeah, I think they need to creatively make something for the fans to care about. He's had great matches, and he beats up guys like Tozawa. Did we see him and Gunther go in the last few months?
We did, and it was fucking fantastic.
Yeah, right. Like guys like Gunther and Karrion Kross I feel are suffering the most from long title reigns when it comes to the world or Universal Championship and the IC title. Yes, those titles are now meaning a lot more than they were when before those guys got them. But then you get a Bronson Reed who could use a really good run as an IC champ or chasing it if he's a maybe a bit of a badass babyface. But I'm hoping, I have high hopes for a guy like Bronson Reed after Mania. A little bit of a reset with the stories. And I'm predicting now that Gunther will not hold a title past Mania. Not saying he'll lose. I'm saying he just won't hold a title past Mania. But we'll get into that closer to Mania.
Yeah. So our first match on the actual PLE section of the show was the Women's Elimination Chamber with Becky Lynch, Bianca Belair, Liv Morgan, Naomi, Raquel, and Tiffany Stratton. And I actually really enjoyed this match.
Yeah?
I enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I would. And the reason I thought I wouldn't is because we all knew who was winning this match.
Mm-hmm.
And that always bugs me slightly, like, come on. But I thought all the ladies did very, very well. I thought Bianca looked strong in getting eliminated. Liv Morgan had another good run. And Tiffany Stratton looked fantastic.
It was almost like they made that match to make her a star, right? She came in, the crowd was behind her.
Yeah, which surprised me. Like, now I don't know if it did surprise me, because I was going to say the Australian crowds historically have been very similar to the UK crowds. And the UK crowds don't like the model wrestlers very much. But when the UK crowd decides they like someone, they're behind them 100%. And that's exactly what happened with Tiffany.
I think we're getting what the perfect version of what I think maybe even back in the Vince era, but what WWE wants for a female wrestler, a wrestler that, let's be honest, looks very good, can talk and portray their character inside and outside of the ring in interviews, almost living that life, but can work. Like, that's the fun part with someone like Tiffany Stratton. She can work and she can do big spots and she'll take these risks, but she's also a very good wrestler who's come a very long way because she hasn't been wrestling for a long time. And yeah, I think little things like that, where if you get the quote unquote diva model look, but they know how to work more than an arm bar, arm drag, and a headlock and a hair toss, you're like, oh, cool. We're actually looking at a professional wrestler, which is, let's be honest, what we all really want. We want someone that can work in the ring too.
Well, so I was still watching NXT weekly when Tiffany Stratton had her first match.
Oh, wow.
And I remember they made a big deal out of her with the video packages, and she came out for the first match, and I was like, holy fuck, not again, here we go. And I got to give her a due. That wasn't that long ago, and she has had a fantastic run as NXT Women's Champion, and she pretty much did steal the chamber here.
Mm-hmm, she did.
And like the dive she did off of the pod was fantastic, looked crazy. And I just think everybody in this match played their part very, very well. Raquel did the I'm a huge powerhouse gimmick inside the chamber very well, but also didn't take 500 finishes to get eliminated, just took one of the KOD, which I also thought was very impressive because Raquel she's a big girl.
Yeah.
I like this match a lot.
For me, Raquel, sometimes I feel like she's still trying to find out who she is in the ring. I feel like she's playing a big wrestler because she's stature-wise bigger than most of the women in WWE. But I don't know. I still feel this disconnect with Raquel where I feel like she's playing wrestler and not actually a wrestler. I know that's terrible for say because I've never been a wrestler, but that's just what I feel like when I'm watching her.
The thing that bugs... So I really like Raquel, and again, it's like Tiffany. She has improved a lot.
Mm-hmm.
The thing I don't like is in NXT, she was a badass heel who came down and threw motherfuckers around that ring. Now she's a smiley Latina.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work.
It hasn't worked since the day she came up.
No, and she needs to turn heel, maybe the night after Mania. Turn heel, whoever is the champion, whether it's Rhea or Becky, just destroy them.
In NXT, was she like a manager for some, or a bodyguard for somebody in NXT?
She was with Dakota Kai for quite a long time.
Okay, there we go. You could do that with a Liv Morgan right now.
Ooh.
Right? Like, because they have been a tag team before.
Yes.
I think they've been tag team.
They were the champions, right? Twice. Yes.
You can do that, but just do it on the main roster and have Liv Morgan be more of a, it seems like she's becoming like a bit of a, I don't want to say Harley Quinn Joker type of character, but she's definitely doing that. Like, they even teased her at one point, the Queen of Extreme for a little bit there.
Yeah. Till they got sued by Francine.
Yeah. Right. So you have something there. I would love to see Raquel turn heel and just go in like Big Daddy Cool mode. Right. And just throw motherfuckers around.
Yeah. Because, I mean, for a while on NXT, before Rhea Ripley became Mammy, she was Big Mommy Cool.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's right.
One thing I'm interested on your opinion on, because I fucking hate it, is that it's not new anymore, but the new Elimination Chamber, or the Jungle Gym, as I've started calling it.
Like, I don't hate it at all. I think I saw your tweet. Did you tweet that you didn't like?
Probably.
It? It's either that or in our group chat, but I don't mind it at all. I have no opinion though. I don't hate it. I don't love it. It's just there and that's what it is, kind of thing. Right. The old one was stiff as hell. Like, guys were getting killed on those grates on the outside. So I don't mind that they added padding.
That's why I liked it.
I'm sure Mr. Deathmatch at GCW here. I get it.
But I mean, I liked it because I don't have to bump on it. But but also, like, it's once a year.
Mm-hmm.
And there's six of you in there. Manage the bumps. And the padding just takes away from it for me. If they disguise the padding a bit better.
That's fair.
Because, like, my partner, who's not a wrestling fan, walked through when I don't remember which chamber it was, but it was one of them. And they said, oh, that's a lot of padding. And just walked off.
That's never a good sign if a non-diehard wrestling fan or a casual fan walks by. It's like, oh, that doesn't look good. That's a bad sign.
Obviously, I don't want the guys and girls out there getting hurt. But
they went for how many years with the original structure, right? But I think they changed it because people were getting hurt on those.
It's once a year. Just be clever about it.
Be hardcore.
Be hardcore. Exactly. You're in business with the UFC now.
I get it.
So, anything else on the women's chamber?
I didn't like the start of it. Like, the first three competitors, it was Becky and
Naomi,
and then did Bianca come in next?
I think Bianca was. Oh, I don't know. I'll be able to tell you.
But I didn't like it. I first of all, I thought they jobbed Naomi out way too early in that match. You bring her back to all this pomp and circumstances after everything that went down. And Naomi just kind of has a whatever performance in the chamber. And she kind of gets jobbed out the way she did when she was first in WWE before she left. I was like, oh.
Yeah, so the first three, I'm surprised about this. I didn't remember that it was this, but it was Becky, Naomi, and Tiffany.
Okay. Wow, really? I thought Raquel was in there before Tiffany. But
Raquel actually came out fifth.
Huh. All right. I didn't like the beginning of the match.
No, I wasn't.
I felt that Becky and Naomi tried to like just do normal wrestling, but I felt like I could see them going through the sequences of, okay, we talked about this, let's do this, and then the third person comes in and then two people are in the turnbuckles and Becky's just going back and forth, and then they switch and then someone else does the same spot, and they did that to essentially to kill time, in my opinion, waiting for the next person to come in. Either you got to shorten those intervals, or I hate to say it, but I'm going to shorten them for the women's matches, because it wasn't good to the point where I was like, oh, this is going to be a bad night of wrestling. Fuck's sakes. Obviously, things picked up when there was four competitors in there. I loved the end of the match, but that's my only, I don't want to say it's a nitpick, because to me, it was a pretty big problem, but still enjoyed the match. Like you, the biggest bummer was WWE set it up where we knew 1,000% Becky was winning.
Yeah.
And the false finishes weren't good enough to make me go, oh, they're going to give it somebody else. It just wasn't that case.
Well, after there, we had the Judgment Day of Finn Balor and Damian Priest defending their undisputed WWE Tag Team Championships against the fucking New Catch Republic. I still hate that name.
Terrible name.
Of Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate.
Man, I wish it wasn't Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate in this match, because they haven't done enough for us, or for me, I shouldn't speak for everybody, to care about them yet. I would have rather had seen a tag team that hasn't done anything, but people like Gallows and Anderson. Have them come in and work and put over the younger guys, whatever. You know, you've got those guys doing NXT stuff now, which I like. Yes. I am intrigued with. But you've got me very confused with the whole why Carl and AJ hate each other. You haven't explained that for months now. And the first half of the match, I think, suffered because of that. Because first half of that tag team match, I didn't give a shit. And I hated that because I really like Pete Dunne a lot. Tyler Bate, I'm fine with. I don't love him, hate him, whatever, right? But I don't like the whole hippie character that he's kind of doing, or sensei or whatever.
Yeah, no, I don't like that.
Not a fan of that. I'd like to see a bit more of an aggressive style to match Pete Dunne, and then you got a bit of a more of a tag team. But like you and I had said in the group chat, this is a really, really good tag team match. The last half of the match where things picked up, we got false finishes, we got big moves, big, great tagging in and out, great tag team moves. We got a couple false finishes there too. We're like, ooh, what do we got? Yeah. I have to give this tag team match two thumbs up, whatever it is. Great tag team match. Loved it a lot.
So I'm obviously never going to say bad things about a tag match that involves Finn Balor, Pete Dunne, and Tyler Bate. Yep. It's just not going to happen. like you, I do not like the hippie sensei Tyler Bate. I want the big strong boy back with the stupid mustache and the crappy haircut. One thing I will say that really impressed me, that airplane spin that he had on Damian Priest. I mean, Damian's a big boy and Tyler Bate is not. Tyler Bate is shorter than me. And I mean, obviously the people listening to us don't know how short that is.
You're 7'2".
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but yeah, I think he's like, he might be 5'7".
At the most.
Yeah. So like to get Damian Priest up, and that spin was quick. Pete Dunne was fantastic here, but Pete Dunne, I think, is also one of those people that there's very little he can do wrong. Even when he was Butch, which I hated, he still was fantastic. Damian Priest worked very well with the smaller but strong guys. And Finn Balor is Finn Balor, and we can say nice things about him without getting yelled at by Mike this week.
Dude, I love Finn Balor so much. It sucks that he probably won't get the ball again to be a main eventer on the main roster, but Finn Balor is so damn good. I think he's so cool, and I would love to see at some point another trying to reform of Bullet Club and WWE with him.
Oh, yeah. Did you see the video that went, not viral, but went around on Twitter of Finn Balor on the beach in Australia?
Where he called
Lazy Rock, motherfucker.
Called The Rock a lazy motherfucker. Yeah.
Made me laugh a lot, purely because that's the answer I would expect from Finn, having met him and driven around with him quite a bit.
That's awesome. He's
a good dude. I really liked this match. One thing that I really appreciate during Judgment Day matches, especially when Dominic Mysterio is out there, is that Michael Cole becomes an A-plus hater anytime Dominic even breathes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I love it. That's what I want from this.
It adds to the show. It really does add to the show when Michael Cole gets up and gets in the heel's face like a Dominic Mysterio, or calls out Pat McAfee when Gunther sees Pat McAfee goofing around.
It was hilarious.
It was so good. I think this version of Michael Cole is easily the best since Vince's left, since Kevin Dunn's left, easily the best that we've seen Michael Cole, and the best to listen to. So I agree. I like it when he gets involved a little bit like that, and he doesn't take away from it. Like, the camera's not on him. We saw that on social media where we could see the camera that they had on the desk, but that's not on the TV show.
I love that they've started releasing those.
Mm-hmm.
They are
so simple.
They are so much fun to watch, watching Michael Cole and either, I mean, Pat McAfee is hilarious to watch in those videos.
Yeah.
I also really, a lot of people don't, but I really like the team of Michael Cole and Corey Graves.
To me, it's the A team. That's the way it should be. That's the JR and Jerry Lawler. I agree.
I was just going to say that is this generation's JR and King.
I agree.
Following on from the tag match, we had the Grayson Waller effect segment with Grayson Waller. That's talking about Jerry Lawler. You threw me off.
Sorry, pal.
So we had Grayson Waller and Austin Theory, and we had their guests, Cody and Seth. I'm going to let you kick this one off because I think we might have very different opinions on this.
Okay. I felt like the crowd was lost. They had lost the crowd before the segment had even started. And I liked that they didn't go with what in the past would have been a typical home countryman coming in that's a heel. And I was hoping they wouldn't do the whole thing where he goes, I'm from Australia. I'm your Australia son, but I'm so glad I moved to America. Yeah. I'm glad they didn't do that. This shows maturity within that company, within that creative system, where you don't have to do that anymore. That's why Austin Theory's out there to get that heat. They weren't going to cheer or they weren't going to boo Grayson Waller. They knew that going in. They made the right decision. Smart. Now, Cody and Seth. I'm glad they were both out there. Would I have loved to have seen him wrestling? Way more than I'd like to see him talking. Cody Rhodes starts to explain why he gave up his spot at WrestleMania only to take it back, which is the number one thing that hasn't been explained yet to this point in this new Bloodline Rock Cody storyline. For diehards, for people that like stories that make sense, this needs to be explained. He starts to address it, and then he stops and goes, I'm challenging The Rock. I want to fight you one-on-one. I'm like, oh, did you forget your script or something? What the fuck happened? I was baffled. I still am baffled, to be honest with you, because that question and that wonderment still hasn't been answered. I kind of felt like Seth Rollins was irrelevant out there. I don't know why he was out there other than just to reinforce what he stated the week before on Raw. It did nothing for me. I'm starting to become one of those guys in the camp of Seth Rollins isn't over. His song is over.
Yeah.
And I've fought that for a long time, Tom. I've fought it for so long. So I'm like, but, and when we say that, no one is taking away his ability in the ring. At all. No. We never have. But this character's really never been explained. He went from being the bad guy messiah of Monday Night Raw into this character that now, which is just a goofy guy in weird clothes that has a weird, funky name that people like to yell and they like to sing his entrance music.
Yeah.
Which, in my opinion, is one of the best things in this generation of wrestling when fans sing any wrestler's entrance music at all. But I felt like Seth didn't need to be there. I felt like Cody could have done that on his own. I hated heel Austin Theory because he went like fucking golden era-esque heel, and I thought it was super lame. The one thing I did pop for was Grayson Waller be like, I ain't getting involved in this, and just backed out.
Yeah.
It didn't do anything for me. I felt the crowd was lost quite a bit and didn't really give a fuck. I think I could hear at times where certain parts of the crowd were trying to basically take over the show and chant whatever they wanted.
Yeah.
Just it wasn't anything that I cared about. I'm not going to lie. I don't like when there's WWE pay-per-views and Cody comes in for an interview or talking segment. They did that at Fastlane last year. I don't like it. What did you think?
I don't like talking segments on pay-per-views at all.
Yeah, good call.
Especially when we used to have to pay for them. I love promos and backstage interviews on a pay-per-view because we need those. But the Grayson Waller effect, I don't want that on a pay-per-view. I'm actually surprised. I thought we would be the exact opposite on our opinions with this, but we're very similar.
Really?
But where we do differ is my favorite part of this whole segment was Austin Theory.
Really?
I was almost crying with laughter when he did the "if you smell" and then was like, "Oh," when Seth Rollins threw him into the thing. I, for some reason, that tickled me the right way.
That's good.
I was laughing my ass off at that. I thought he was hilarious. I thought Grayson Waller coming out and doing the shoey with the Mexican UFC, Mexican, Australian UFC. It's been a long day. The Australian.
You can send your letters to UK Tom at
somewhere in Mexico, apparently.
Tijuana. Sorry, go on. Sorry.
Yeah, I thought him coming out to do the shoey with the UFC fighter whose name I didn't catch was very funny. And I also liked that he did the Aussie, Aussie, Aussie. That was great. And I, like you, I liked that he didn't try and turn heel. But I also liked that he didn't really change anything about, he didn't go babyface either.
Yeah. Yeah. Other he just did his thing. I agree.
Cody and Seth, I think, were on there purely so the crowd could sing their songs.
Yep.
I liked Cody's promo, but like you said, it was a little bit, did you forget or what? If I was booking, I would have made this a tag match and had Cody and Seth beat Grayson Waller and Austin Theory just to get them to wrestle. But other than that, it wasn't really necessary, I don't think.
I agree. The other big downer was between the tag team match and this next match we're about to talk about. The report here was 55 minutes.
That's too much.
Too long for a crowd of 50,000 people to just sit there and watch and wait.
Yeah,
exactly. But let's get into the men's chamber match, because I believe that's next, right?
The men's chamber is next, which was Drew McIntyre, Lashley, Kevin Owens, LA Knight, Logan Paul, and Randy Orton. I love this match.
Yep.
Logan Paul, to me, was the star again. Him drawing all over the chamber, the pod was really funny. The bump he took from Bobby Lashley through the pod, I thought he killed him.
Yeah.
Like, that was brutal.
That was one of those ones where I literally thought, like, I know that's supposed to happen, but damn, the way they're laying there and the way the plexiglass didn't come all the way out, was it not supposed to happen? But yeah, I agree. Looked violent.
Obviously, I've got to give my boy Kevin Owens some flowers. He was great.
He's my MVP of the match.
Oh, really?
I loved everything Kevin did there, even when he was still inside of his pod. When was it Bobby Lashley that was slamming Logan Paul's head onto Kevin Owens' pod, and Kevin Owens is like hitting the pod on the other side, so that it just brilliant. More force. I'm like, we've never seen that spot before, but it sounds looks so simple. But it, to me, I'm like, yeah, this guy hates Logan Paul, wants to beat the living shit out of him, and he's gonna smash his arm onto the pod as well, just to add a little bit more force. But yeah, Kevin Owens is my MVP this match.
Randy Orton did a generational sell job.
Oh,
I was genuinely worried that he was done.
Yeah. That's the second week in a row, because the last match he had on TV, people are like, oh no, Randy hurt his back again. This is it. But now we just know, one, we know he's actually hurting. We know his back is not great. But twice now in like a week, week and a half, 2 weeks, a lot of people are like, oh, I don't think that's good. That's not wrestling. That's not good. But yeah, guy's killing it.
The finish with Drew McIntyre, Logan Paul, and Randy Orton was fantastic.
Dude, I don't remember the last time where, even though I knew that Drew McIntyre was going to win, where they had me. Well, I guess I could. I guess I thought Cody would win last year at Mania, and they really fucked me there. But
yeah, we don't talk about that.
Yeah, we won't. You know, but I love that, because when Drew hit that, or Randy hit that RKO, I'm like, holy fuck, they're giving it to Randy. Holy shit. And then out of nowhere, Logan Paul with the brass knucks, and Randy sold it perfectly. Logan backed off. Drew gets the pin. Dude, that, I don't think I have the right to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway, because let's be honest, no one of importance is listening. That seemed like a new age Dusty finish to me, where boom, they got you, boom, they got you. Oh no, boom, they got you. And I was just like, holy shit. I was literally with my hands on my head, like, holy smoke. Great match. Loved it.
One thing we should probably mention is AJ Styles flying 30 hours just to fuck LA Knight. I am here for that level of hatred.
Yep.
I'm all for it. I'm actually interested in that, because it's a match that never crossed my mind.
Dude, me too. And it looks like we're probably getting that at Mania, which everyone kind of thought that it was going to be LA Knight versus Logan Paul for the US title. I don't think that's happening now. Whatever this heel AJ character is, I'm on board for now, but I'm going to start needing some answers as to why. Pretty soon.
My other thing is wear some fucking gear. Don't wrestle in jeans. I hate it.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think it's time to talk about everybody's favorite mommy.
Oh, do we ever? Well, I wish we need more time. Trust me.
Yeah. main event was obviously Rhea Ripley and Nia Jax.
Best Nia Jax match she's ever had.
So I've said this before, and I've said it to you guys, but I've also said it to some other wrestling friends. Nia Jax has been perfect since she returned.
Agreed.
And that's not me saying she can wrestle, because she can't.
That's right.
But she doesn't need to. She needs to go in there and fucking destroy these ladies. And then eventually somebody pins her.
Yep.
Which is exactly what happened here. And I'm looking at the stats here. Nia Jax and Rhea Ripley, the match was 14 minutes and 35 seconds.
Wow.
That is probably Nia's longest singles match she's ever had. And I thought she did very, very well. Rhea's selling was fantastic. And I'm pretty confident that everybody was a fan of her ring gear.
Everybody, trust me. Everybody.
I really liked it. I'm glad it was the main event. What did you think?
Same thing. For me, match of the night. Honestly, nothing came close to that match for me, because Rhea brought it. I felt like she went in going, I've got the main event. I need to show that I'm not moving out of the main event. And I think Nia Jax did the same thing. And it was awesome. I'm a softy, dude. Like, when I see people coming out in their hometown, and even though she's a heel and a badass, she's getting emotional. That gets me. Same thing with after the match when she'd won. She's sitting with her family. You can see that emotion. She's trying to like be a badass still, but it still gets her. I love stuff like that. So to me, match of the night, mommy went over in a babyface way, and that's the way it should have been at that show.
100%. Well, I guess that's it for Elimination Chamber.
I'm going to give it a 6.5 out of 10. There's too much downtime and four matches. So
I would probably go a 7, purely because there's nothing on there I hated.
I like that. I like that.
Obviously, we have apparently an AEW pay-per-view this weekend.
Yeah, we got about a minute and a half left to sneak in some AEW. It is AEW Revolution this weekend. As we're taping this, it is a Tuesday, so Sting's last Dynamite is tomorrow night. They're making a big deal out of that, so I'm looking forward to that. But I wish I cared about this pay-per-view.
Yeah, I will not be buying the pay-per-view. AEW's pay-per-views are too expensive. I love Sting. I was lucky enough to see him in person twice in the UK.
Nice.
But I don't care enough about AEW right now to pay any money to watch it.
Real quick before we go, does Sting go out undefeated, or does he go out on his back and they drop the tag titles to the Young Bucks?
As much as I hate the Young Bucks, wrestlers going out without losing bothers me, so the Young Bucks have to win.
My heart is completely torn on this one. I don't have an issue with that at all if Sting were to go out undefeated. But it's in a tag team match, and Sting's notoriously a singles wrestler. I think Sting takes the pin, the Bucks get the tag team titles, and I don't know if you'll see anything on air with a big celebration or the roster on the stage or anything like that. It would be nice if that was on the pay-per-view, but I have a feeling it'll be afterwards.
I think it'll be at Dynamite, where they'll do what they did for Ric Flair on Raw after he lost to Shawn Michaels.
I would love that. I actually watched that the other day, and I cried again.
Yeah, it's I'm a mark for the legend, so I love seeing them.
Yeah, right. So if you're getting AEW pay-per-view this weekend, let us know at In My House Pod is the socials on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You'll find everything there. I'm hoping this is one of the best AEW pay-per-views ever, because it'll help me get invested again. Right now, they're just not doing it for me, and they've got to fix that. So make your titles mean stuff again. Give me good storylines that I can see on my TV that aren't buried on Rampage and Collision, where I'm Canadian, so I can't watch it unless I'm paying more money. I just don't want to do that.
Yeah, they're going to have to work very hard to prize any more money out of me.
There you go, Tony Khan. The challenge has been drawn out to you. But Let us know what you thought of the Elimination Chamber, and let us know what you think of AEW, and if you're getting the pay-per-view this weekend, we'd love to hear it. UK Tom, thanks for filling in. Let's do it again soon.
Always. I'll see you next time.
Yes, sir. For UK Tom, I'm Scotty Villa. This has been the MI Host Pro Wrestling Podcast.
Welcome to my play that music too loud. Show me what you do now. We don't have to go out. Welcome to my house. Welcome to my house. Welcome to my house.
It's my house.
Yowie wowie.